tell you all three, then we'll clap for them. Firefighters, all the paramedics, EMTs, and service people, and their families. Let's give them all a big hand. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let me encourage you, not only this week, in light of the fires that we all were amidst, I live in North, so we were surrounded by them. The first fires that I think started were like a mile and a half, 2 miles from our house. We were safe, but you know, other people's houses went down, as we know. Whenever you see a firefighter, especially in light of what just happened, but anytime, but especially this next couple weeks, go out of your way and tell them thank you. If you see a paramedic, go out of your way and tell them thank you, because they put themselves in harm's way. It was 100 degrees, as we know. They were out there fighting flames. Covered. I mean, it was a 24/7. It wasn't like I'm going home, you know, and go to sleep. They had to work and work because people's lives were at stake. So we want to thank them and encourage them. Anytime you can, I don't know if blowing your horn and waving to them, blowing your horn is a thing, but yeah, hey, just stop by, see them out there at Starbucks or whatever. Just stop by and say thank you to them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. God bless you. I want to take a couple minutes and address the concerns about the direction of our church and the word on the street about what's happening to the Rock. In 2000, we started this church, and I got saved in 1984, 30 years ago. And I've been sharing the gospel for 30 years. The gospel is my life. It is the foundation upon which I stand, and it is the foundation upon which I will die. That is never going to change. It breaks my heart that the conference we had caused confusion, and I apologize for any confusion it brought into your life. But the gospel, Jesus came to preach the gospel. He came to heal the sick, cast out demons. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And we are going to do all of that. And it's as simple as that. We are going to pray for people to be healed. And let it be very, very clear. When people get healed, it is 100% God. It is never people doing it, ever. In the Bible, there are extreme manifestations of people being in God's presence, of how people reacted. That is in the Bible. We are absolutely not seeking that. We are not going to seek to make that part of our services. That is not our intent. We are not trying to be like the Toronto Blessing. There will be no barking in here. For all you who are caught up on that, that's just not going to happen. You have to understand the devil does not want us exercising the power of God. The devil wants you to sit in church, bring your Bible if you want, and mind your business. That's just not going to happen here. It never was our spirit to be a religious place and sit around and just go with the flow. We are going after to set captives free every way we can. Amen. The devil is going to distort and pervert everything God calls the Christians to do. When you see things about people online about, you know, manifesting stuff, and they say, well, that's what the church got. No, they're copying and perverting what God is doing and what God wants to do. We have never and never will be associated with any Eastern spirits, Kundalini stuff or whatever all that stuff is. That is never part of our world. We worship the Father. We are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and we worship this, and we read this Bible and follow the Bible. That's the way it's going to be all the time. And so, anyway. When I trying to be part of the Toronto Blessing, that's just not what we're doing. Anytime we bring somebody here, it's not to copy them, it's to learn. And so I just want to reassure you that we have had record people getting saved. We've had record people getting healed. There's something new to us. It is new, but we're going for it. And people are getting healed. Amen. I've got so many emails. One of them was, are there fakes? Absolutely. They're fake Christians. People get saved. I'm saved. And they go out and live like they were living before. There's fakes everywhere. The devil is a perverter. He takes what God does and he perverts it. We just have to stay focused on Jesus and follow Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
If you have any questions, we have pastors here every service that will answer your questions. Call the office. Talk to people. Okay? Amen? We're in a journey together. Let's learn together. This is new for me. It's new for us. Let's learn together. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is the rocks. One of the reasons we named the church the rock. It is what we stand on. It will be always what we stand on. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get on our knees. Let's get on our knees and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our Savior. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you died for our sin and rose from the dead. And there is no other name under heaven by which men will be saved. There's no other name on earth by which men may be saved. And we worship you. We are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we pray you reveal yourself to us. We're going to talk about you today. Thank you for being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Let's see your Bibles, church. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Very good. Turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke. Luke chapter 3. I am a big fan. I love nature. And I believe God created the heavens and the earth and he did it in 6 days. He could have done it in 6 seconds and he could have done it in 6 billion years. Because he's God. He does whatever he wants to do. And everything he made, his invisible attributes, his wisdom, his creativity, his power are seen in everything he's made, his beauty. And one of the things that I love to see is hawks just glide on the wind. Can I get an amen? I'm jealous. How many of y'all wish y'all could do that? You know what I'm saying? Just like, and they can see stuff from way up, just they can see little mice from way up there and and I just watch them every day. I watch them. And I'm fascinated by the invisible power that keeps them up, called the wind. The wind underneath their wings. Isaiah talks about us mounting up on wings of eagles. And the Holy Spirit being our wind. When you walk with God, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers you. Acts 1:8. And we're going to refer to that a few times here today. Jesus said to the apostles, I don't want you doing anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because without the Holy Spirit, you can't do anything. You can fake it, but you can't do anything in the spiritual realm that pleases God. And so we're going to talk today about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk today specifically about the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. Because Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now we know that Jesus was conceived, Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus cast out demons. He said, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. And if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, you know the kingdom of God has come. So one of the evidences that the kingdom of God has come is the power of the Holy Spirit. We are told not to talk against the Holy Spirit. You want to be careful what you attribute to a demon when, in fact, God may be doing something in people's lives. We're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in you. We're going to talk about more of that later, but that's a very important verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But in Luke chapter 3 and 4, we're going to look at 6 ways Jesus interacted with the Holy Spirit. Why is this so important? It's because if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, and if Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need the Holy Spirit? When you read Jesus' life and you see him, remember, he was all man and he was all God at the same time. And when you read his life and you see the example he set for us, one of which was his dependence on the Holy Spirit and his utilization of the Holy Spirit. And these are the very first thing, his very start of his ministry, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And when I read this, I have this little piece of paper at my house and I say, you know what, Lord, I want to start every day like you started your ministry. I want to start my ministry's already started. I want to start every service like you started your ministry. 6 different ways the Bible says the Holy Spirit was on him and minister through him at the very beginning of his ministry to establish this was his power. Amen. So chapter 3, verse 21, it says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized. Say baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens were open. Now, this is a little side note. The heavens opened. In Genesis, the heavens opened above Jacob. The heavens opened and angels descended and ascended on a ladder. I want you to understand this concept of the heavens opening and you having free access to everything in heaven. Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May what's in heaven be on earth. That's what this whole series is about. It's not like we are saved and God's up there and we're down here. God's here. God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You want to live your life under open heaven. Everyone say open heaven. I want you to understand this concept that you can, when you're walking around praying, saying, Lord, open heaven above my life. And whatever you want to pour out on me, I want it. Because everything up there is good. So just open up heaven. And what does that mean? Whatever God decides, whatever God, how he responds, is that God's going to respond. But Lord, open up heaven. I don't want to have this concept that you're up there. I want to be connected. So what happened was Jesus is getting baptized, and all of a sudden, heaven opened. I wonder what that looked like. I mean, think about it. There's stuff in the Bible we just don't know what it looked like. And we don't want to really say exactly what it is if we don't know, but we just know that that must have been awesome. Can I get amen? It had to be. It had to be. You know, because we don't know what heaven looks like. And it opened up, and then what happened was, it says, verse 22, the Holy Spirit. Everyone say Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. Say upon him. Now, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all God, all eternal, all powerful, all omnipresent, which means they're everywhere at the same time. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit all have roles in creation. They all have different roles in salvation. They all have different roles in judgment. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, these people lied about what they sold. It's a long story, I don't need to get into it, but Peter says, you lied to God, and then he said, you lied to the Holy Spirit, which is the same thing. Holy Spirit's God. The Holy Spirit is also a person, not a human, a person. God is a person. What that means is that they can have a relationship with you, that he will speak to you, God will speak to you. He has emotions. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is grieved when we do things that are against the word of God and against the heart of God. The Holy Spirit has a mind. The Holy Spirit has a will. What does that mean? He doesn't have a brain, but he thinks. We have a brain to help us think. He has a mind, thinks. He has a will. In other words, he's going to give you certain gifts. And then the Holy Spirit, if we let him, and he's a he, by the way, if we let him, Jesus said he's a he. If we let him, just so you, that was not a... Why has it got to be a he? You need to talk to God. Because he is. John chapter 16, you can read it for yourself and all throughout the other Bible, but John chapter 16, Jesus says, I'm going to send him and he will convict you of sin. He will remind you what I said. And the Holy Spirit, if we let him, will organize all of us like pieces in a puzzle according to his gifting and anointing in our life to accomplish something bigger than we can accomplish by ourselves. That's his job. We have to yield to him. The difference between cults and church, cults follow a person. Now, this is not a cult. I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow Jesus. You follow Jesus. God's going to tell you to do stuff. I don't know all of you, and God's going to tell you to do stuff between you and him. So it's Holy Spirit. That's who the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Matter of fact, I want you to think of a construction site. Let's say someone owned a construction company and they were going to build a mall. You'd have, for my example, three different people involved in the construction of the mall. You have the president of the company who has the vision for the mall. Everyone say vision. Then you have his his VP, who comes down and signs the contract, say, sign the contract. And then the VP sends the project manager to actually build the mall. Say, project manager. Now, in a worldly sense, they have different levels. But what I want to focus on is their different roles, function. One has the vision, one signs the contract, and one does the work. Whenever you try to use a natural metaphor to explain something spiritual, there's always going to be something missing, so just understand that. But in this case, the Trinity is like that. The Father had the vision, the plan of salvation. The Son's role was to sign the contract with his blood. And then the Son, Jesus, said, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to live in you, and he's going to make it happen. And so when you get saved, you give your life to Christ, but it's the Holy Spirit that comes live in you. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And the Son did what he saw the Father doing, and the Spirit says what the Father tells him. They work together. And so the Holy Spirit's what's living in you, and what's guiding and directing you, empowering you. The relationship you have with God is via the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit. So here's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gets baptized, and as an example to us in the least, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Everyone say upon him. Upon him. Say upon him. We want the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you don't turn there, but right before the apostles started their ministry, right before Jesus was ascended into heaven, he told the apostles, don't do anything. Don't try to do ministry until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power. We'll get to that in a minute. We want the Holy Spirit to come upon us. It's something you just need. You just need the Holy Spirit. You don't want to just acknowledge that he's out there. Holy Spirit, I want you to come upon me. Let's pray right here. Everyone bow your heads real close, real quick. Bow your heads and close your eyes, or bow your eyes and close your head. Just leave your heart open. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge who you are and your presence, and we ask that you would come upon us, come upon marriages, pour out your love on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Anyone say filled? Say filled. Ooh, bubba, 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 bubba. The Holy Spirit came. Acts 1:8, Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. In Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were filled. Now, how many of you ever felt a period in your life where you were walking with God but you felt not spiritually on fire? In other words, you weren't motivated to read the Bible, you weren't motivated to go to church, you weren't motivated to sing. It was just like, whatever. Anybody? Okay, very good. And then there were other times where you were just on fire for God. You wanted the word. You worship songs. Your hands went up, or you just felt like you wanted to sing and you were excited about praying and whatever. Anybody? Okay. You could have the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit has all of you. It's like, okay, God, forgive me my sin, but I'm still going to live my own way. And you're in a battle. It's like inviting someone into your house. My wife and I, a couple of years ago, we moved into a new house, but we had a time we didn't have a place to stay, so we stayed at my sister's house, and we stayed in a room, in my niece's room. So my wife, we had stuff in storage, but basically we lived in one bedroom. We only had half the closet. And so in that room, we had half a closet, and my office was right here. It was literally, I just turned to my bed and I was in my office. And even though my sister said, oh yeah, it's, you know, my house is your house, it really wasn't. I couldn't like paint the walls if I wanted. I didn't have control of the man cave. I didn't have control of the TV button or whatever. It wasn't my house. So, and we weren't like confined, but we joke about how we just had to stay in that one room. We do that with God. We say, God, come into my heart, but we put him in a room. And we don't give him reign of the whole house. He's there, And he's whispering to us, and we're like, yeah, whatever, but I gotta go to the club. Because, you know, I'm lonely. He's like, and I'm not saying the club is sinful, even though it is. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying it's sinful of itself, but there's a lot of McNasty stuff that goes on in there. But you know, you get the point. But the point is that you put God in a corner, being filled to saying, God, I'm opening up all the doors to my house and all the rooms, and have your way. Have your way. And in the Bible, many people got filled, and sometimes they spoke in tongues. Sometimes they preached with boldness. Every time their life was transformed. And you say, Lord, fill me. And you know what? You may feel it. You may not feel it. But your life is going to change. Let's bow right real quick. Close your eyes and bow your head. Holy Spirit, we want to be filled. We don't want to just have you as a token, a sign of our salvation. We want to be filled to overflowing with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I know you're supposed to drink certain ounces of water. I can't remember the formula. Like if you weigh 200 pounds, I think you're supposed to drink 100 ounces of water, 180 ounces of water, whatever it is. And if you are properly hydrated, you will find yourself going to the bathroom all day. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. So if you drink the water you're supposed to drink, you will go to the bathroom throughout the day. If you are filled with the Spirit, he will flow out of you all day. And he, I'm sorry for the analogy, he will fly. But you can't hold him in. You get the point. You get the point. Okay, let's go to the next one. Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, he returned from the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Everyone say led. Oh, the Holy Spirit's not in you just so you can have it. The Holy Spirit's in you to lead you. You are not the leader. I'm not the leader. I'm not the teacher. He is. I'm following him the best I can. Do I follow him perfectly? Absolutely not. Not because I'm intentionally not following him perfectly. I'm just not perfect. And neither are you. We're all following together, trying to figure this out together. But he is the leader. And what do you tell Jesus? Jesus, you're going to, the first thing you are going to do in your ministry is I'm going to come upon you, I'm going to fill you, and then I'm leading you into the desert where you are not going to eat for 40 days and 40 nights, and then the devil's going to come and tempt you. What? Yeah, we're going to get right at it. But that's going to be hard. Jesus didn't say this, I'm just saying it's for us. That's going to be hard. God is not about your comfort. Oh, yeah, let me clarify that. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, but please do not mistake that he is going to do what makes you feel comfortable. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Say gentleman. Gentleman. Which, by the way, I mean, I'm trying to think where, if that's in the Bible. If it says he's a gentleman. He's gentle. But it doesn't mean that he's never going to lead you into something that is uncomfortable. Absolutely not. That is part of walking with God. How many of y'all are going through a wilderness time right now? Raise your hand. You know, a difficult time, a trial, something like that. God is with you. And don't think he's not with you. And don't think, and by the way, I'm not saying he created your drama, because that may all be on you. But if you trust him, he will lead you through your drama. In other words, don't say, I'm in my drama, I made this mess, okay, Holy Spirit, I'll deal with it, and then I'll pick you up later. No, Holy Spirit, can you help me? Yes, but understand this, he's not into getting you out of the drama just to save you drama. He's going to purify you through the drama. Okay, so he's going to lead. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you. Holy Spirit, please lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus returned in the what?
Power.
You do not want to rely on your own power. You have no power. Now, we've been talking about praying for people to get healed, and let me be crystal clear. And I said it before, I'll say it again. Whenever you pray for someone to be healed, it is never you doing the healing. Sometimes God will heal people with faith, and sometimes people have all the faith in the world and they don't get healed. And sometimes people who have no faith get healed. And sometimes people who say, matter of fact, I've gotten at least 10 emails, tweets, or whatever in the last 2 weeks of people who got healed and said, I got healed specifically, and this is from me praying for them, or by the way, not even praying for them, just mentioning that God gave me a vision about healing people's legs, and they got healed, just by saying that. And here's what they said, I was a skeptic. They were even skeptical. So your faith is a factor, but not always. People just, God says, you know what, I think I just want to rock this person's world. That's completely up to God. But it's always his power. That's why when you pray for someone to be healed or pray for someone to be saved or pray for whatever, it doesn't matter your volume, doesn't matter. Like if you yell louder, it doesn't make the prayer work any better. Or if you can't talk at all, it doesn't make the prayer any work any less. Or if you pray long or short, unless God tells you to keep praying so you can keep fighting the spiritual battle. But it's all by being led by God. Matter of fact, while we're here, last week, I don't think I asked this service. I think I asked another service. We want to teach you how to pray for the sick so they can be healed. Now, let me be clear. It's not that there's a formula at all that if you do this, this happens. That's not what it's like. It's like learning how to share your faith. You have to learn. They get saved. Sometimes they don't. There's no guarantee, but you still got to know kind of what to say. So how many of you would be interested in learning that so you could pray for people who are sick or injured or whatever? Anybody? Raise your hand real high. Let me see. Okay. So just for clarity, we have most of the people here raise their hand. Now, so some of you who didn't raise your hand saying, I don't want to learn how to pray for people who are sick. That's what that means. So we're going to do that, but understand this. It's always his power at his discretion. We're just the middleman doing our part. We never, ever control what happens. It's always his power. So Jesus says, he had the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to transform. The reason I don't do cocaine anymore. Oh, yeah, if you're new, I used to do cocaine. I used to smoke weed, too. Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. There's like a bunch of y'all said, oh, yeah, he used to smoke weed. I get that. Yeah. Yeah, the little yellow things on my, the little yellow stain on my thumb is gone. Long 30 years ago. Yes. But the only reason I don't do that anymore and stop them one day is the power of the Holy Spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit is what we all need. So let's pray. Verse 18. Anointed. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Say anointed. Anointed. To do what? Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, anointed means set apart for something and then actually empowered to do what you've been set apart to do. I have been anointed to do evangelism, to pastor this church, to lead this church. God said, I'm setting you apart. You don't belong to the world anymore. You don't belong to your congregation. You belong to me. And so not only am I going to set you apart, I'm going to empower you to do what I set you apart to do. It is very important, it's muy importante that you know how and what, for what reason you were anointed. How many of y'all want to know that? Okay, if you're not raising your hand, you're saying, I don't want to know. I don't want to pray for sick people, and I don't want to know why I'm anointed. Just for clarification, because we don't want to play church here, we just want to know, okay? We want to be honest with you. So some of y'all saying, I want that, and some of y'all saying, I don't want that, and then some of y'all saying, I just don't want to raise my hand. Why? Okay, so he's anointed. So your prerogative, you don't have to raise your hand. In my heart, I'm saying yes. Okay, whatever, I get it. Verse 32, it says, they were astonished, verse 32, chapter 4, they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Say authority. Now, I'm going to ask the band to come out right now because we're going to do something different at the end here. I'm going to ask the band to come out here in a minute. Authority, power is the ability to do something. I have the power to pick up the chair. It's the ability. Authority is the license to use your power. So even though I can pick up the chair, it's in someone else's house, and they say, I don't want you picking up my chair. Okay, I'm cool. I mean, I'm not going to fight you over picking up your chair. So I'm not going to pick up your chair. But I could if I want. I understand, but you don't have the authority in my house to pick up my chair. So the difference between having power and authority. Are you following me? In other words, the devil has power to destroy your life, but he has no authority unless you give it to him. And why would you give it to him? Unknowingly, you would unknowingly agree to live the life he wants you to live because he's slick. He's going to say, I want you to go to a club. I want you to get a guy because he's cute. Now, again, I'm not saying don't go to the club. Kinda. But I want you to go to the club, and I want you to get a guy who's cute, and I want you, don't worry that he's going to go to church. He's going to be a good guy. And then you listen to that bad advice, and you are, in a roundabout way, taking the advice, not of God, of this evil influence, and now you put yourself in a bad position, and you've given authority to now suffer. In other words, if you get high, you're saying, devil, I am trusting you that this weed is going to make me happy, and so therefore I am submitting myself into your care. Weed, take care of me. Bottle, take care of me. And God says, okay. Okay. You have given authority. So if you say, no, I'm following Jesus Christ, the devil says, I can't do anything with that. So when you pray for people, you not only have the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the authority that comes with Christ because Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says in Matthew 28:19-20 that all authority on heaven and earth Christ has. And he gives that to you. You have that authority. The problem, the reason people don't have supernaturalness in their life is because you don't believe you have the authority. So you don't ask. So you walk around scared of the devil, thinking he's going to get you, when he only has authority if you give it to him. When you say, no, I believe in Christ who died and rose from the dead. I have authority. Now, all that comes with the Holy Spirit. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song. In a minute, all the campuses are going to sing the same song. And before we sing, I'm going to pray and then break off the campuses. But when the song is singing, I want you to get ready. Everyone sit up in your seat, all the campus. Sit up in your seat, put your booty back in your seat. Sit up straight. Give me a little music, just a little background. Here, I like. Before we break the campuses, actually, let's not, because I think the other campuses kind of messes up. So we just, once I pray and we start to sing this song,